podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for our God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word this morning. Father, to embrace the message of what you have to say to us through your word. Lord, that you might motivate us, Father, to be people of love because we have a God who is love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the jobs I had when I was a seminary student was working in a jewelry store. And when I was a clerk in the jewelry store, there was one section of the jewelry case just above the diamonds that had scratches in the glass continuously. And you know, the reason for that was not because of the workers testing to see if diamonds were real. The reason there were scratches on that jewelry case were because the customers would come in and test the diamonds to see if they were real by scratching across the glass. So from time to time, the glass had to be replaced on the jewelry case because customers wanted to see if the diamonds were real. There was only one problem with that, and that is that many of the imitation diamonds can also scratch glass. So it's not proof that a diamond is real just because it scratches glass. So how do you tell the real apart from the imitation? You know, you can take an x-ray of it, but, you know, there's a more inexpensive way to do it. Actually, look at the diamond through a jeweler's loop. Magnify it and look into it. The truth of the matter is that real diamonds have inclusions, these little dark imperfections throughout the diamond. The less of them, the more valuable the diamond, but all diamonds have them. But the fake diamonds, the imitation ones, they're just too perfect. They're too perfect. They don't have those flaws. Fake diamonds are just too good to be true. And sometimes the same is true of fakes when it comes to people and when it comes to Christians. The religious people that Jesus often encountered along the road and in the places where he went in Israel turned out to be too good to be true. They lived according to the letter of the law. Some of them lived above the letter of the law. They were so careful. And sometimes they exceeded the letter of the law more than anybody else in their midst, and so they were respected as religious people. Yet, Jesus could see right through them. In fact, we read in Mark chapter 3 these words, story about Jesus. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? to save life or to kill. But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. What's fascinating about this story is that the Pharisees were good religious people, that they were obeying the Sabbath. They were keepers of the law. You know, they came dressed in their Sabbath best to be seen in the synagogue and to meet with all the rest. And they had a great record of all of the wonderful ways in which they were attentive to the law of God. But Jesus stood there in their midst and he exposed something that was deeply wrong. He showed that they were fakes because they did not have love. There was something missing, and it was love. They lived according to the letter of the law, but there was no love. And so it's interesting in the story that Jesus asks them this question, which is it lawful to do on the Sabbath, to bring life or to kill? And Jesus restores a man's hand there in the synagogue, and the man is healed. He brings life to this man. Yet the Pharisees leave, and they say, "How can we kill Jesus?" And on the same Sabbath day, they are looking to kill. They missed it completely. Look a little bit closer, and you will see what Jesus saw. That sometimes in people that appear to be genuinely godly, there's a flaw. And that flaw is they don't have love. Through all of his dealings with the Pharisees, Jesus' disciples were right there along with him. They saw all of this. They took it all in. They soaked it. They learned. John was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and he was there when these things took place. And so he wrote a whole lot about what he saw and experienced through Jesus. And in this passage that we're looking at this morning, this letter that he wrote to the churches, he says, this is how we know what love is. So let's follow his argument to find out what love is. First thing that he talks about is that love is the true Christian's signature. Love is the true Christian's signature. Now, part of what he's writing about here in this letter to the churches is this, that there are some in the church who have left the church, who are not a part of the church, who are really pretenders, who didn't know Jesus in the first place. And he says, beware of them. So there are some Christians who call themselves Christians, who are not true Christians. And one of the points that he's making here in this letter is the way to tell them apart is love. Just look at their actions. Look at the fruit of their lives. Chapter 3, verse 14. John writes, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death." He says, you know, that transformation that has taken place in the believer's life, where they go from death to life, is proved by love. Unlike Cain that John talks about, not Herman Cain, but Cain from the Old Testament, he brought a sacrifice to the Lord, yet deep inside of him, we're told that he was harboring hatred and resentment that eventually led to murder. The true believer in Jesus Christ is known not just by the sacrifice, but also by the love that comes along with it. Love is the true mark of a Christian. There are many things that can be said about a believer in Jesus Christ. There are a whole lot of things that can be said about us. We are to be holy. We are to be obedient to the Lord. We are to be fruitful. We are to share our faith in Jesus Christ with others. We're to be generous toward others. All of these things are important. However, the signature quality of the believer in Jesus Christ is love. In fact, apart from love, all of those other priorities, as important as they are, they fall flat. Paul, another apostle, wrote, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I have, all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Here we see the heart of the issue. It's not necessarily the good things that we do, the righteousness of our actions, living to the letter of the law that matters, but it's the love that is the foundation of all that takes place in our lives. So Paul and John have taught us that the love that we have is the signature mark of a believer in Jesus Christ. Chapter 3 and verse 10, John wrote these words, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." The righteousness and the love are paired together in that verse. This is how we know that we are children of God. Not just that we do right, but that we do right in love. We become children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we live out our faith in love and obedience to God. You might put it this way. If someone says that they're a believer in Jesus Christ, but they do not demonstrate love, there's reason to doubt whether they really are a believer in Jesus Christ. How can someone be a follower of Jesus Christ and not love? That's the question that John asks. Now, where did John get such a teaching? Well, John spent a lot of time with Jesus, and one of the things that Jesus said back in John chapter 13, John recorded it in his gospel, is this: "A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." What Jesus said was this: the signature mark of a follower of mine is that you love one another. That's how people will know that you are my disciple, my follower, is because you love one another. Followers of Jesus are known by their love. Love is the true Christian's signature. John here in 1 John chapter 3 continues to tell us what love is in verse 16. Verse 16 he says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." And then he gives an example. He says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." So love is the true Christian's signature, but also it is the true Christian's sacrifice. The greatest example of love that we have in all history of mankind is Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for us. You know, when we think of Jesus Christ and laying down his life for us, we read that passage, immediately our mind goes to the cross. I know mine does. When I hear that Jesus Christ laid down his life for me, I think immediately of the cross. However, this time of year, I can't help but also think about another sacrifice that Jesus made. We don't always recognize the birth of Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. We don't always recognize that by being born into this world in Bethlehem, that he was laying down his life. But that was a supreme sacrifice as well. You think of all of the rights and the privileges that Jesus gave up in order to be born as an infant here in this world. The privileges of his heavenly home, the worship of angels, the power and the authority of his kingdom there in heaven, to come into this world and to take the form of an infant, now to be dependent on a human being, a human mother, in order to feed him, to nurture him, to bathe him, to change his diaper, to clean up after him, to go from the throne of heaven, commanding the angels, to a manger in Bethlehem, a little baby in the arms of its mother. What a huge sacrifice. He laid down his life for us. And why would he agree to such a demotion from heaven to earth? Why would anyone agree to such a demotion? Love is the answer. He came to save us, to eventually sacrifice his life on the cross, but that sacrifice really begins in that manger. I love the line in Mark Lowry's song, the song "Mary, Did You Know?", where he's addressing Mary and he says, "The child that you delivered will soon deliver you." Isn't that a beautiful line? child that you delivered will soon deliver you. That is love. And John teaches us that Jesus laid down his life for us, so we should lay down our lives for one another. That's the point he's making here. The example he gives is meeting the needs of others. He says, look, Jesus met our needs, so therefore we should meet each other's needs. The true Christian is someone who sees the needs that others have and doesn't walk away. The true Christian doesn't meet people's needs just through words, but also through actions. It's a good thing to say nice words, to encourage someone verbally. But the true Christian will find a way to help. Actions speak louder than words. That's one of our sayings. But it's borne out in this passage of Scripture. It's not that we shouldn't use words. We should use words. Words are effective. They're powerful. However, our words need to be backed up with action. And that's the point that John makes. James, the brother of Jesus, put it this way. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Sounds a whole lot like Paul when he says, if I were to feed all of the hungry, all of the poor, without love, would it really matter? What good is saying nice words without backing it up with actions? Imagine if Jesus told his disciples he loved them, but never went to the cross. Where would the proof be? The signature of a true Christian is love. And love is to be sacrificial. It's not simply enough to pass along a word of blessing. We need to learn from the example of Jesus and love in truth. When he saw mankind dying in sin, he became a man and he lived with us and became one of us and died for us. What have you done lately? What have you done lately to enter into the hurt of someone else and to lift them up from their darkness? That is love that we are called to model as Christ modeled it for us. So in our passage this morning, John not only points out that love is the true Christian signature and the true Christian's sacrifice, he also teaches us that love is the true Christian's security. You see, from time to time, doubts enter our minds. Even the strongest believers in Jesus Christ sometimes have doubts about their faith. They wonder, am I even being effective for God? Do I even really know God? Because we continue to sin. And then after those times of sin and those times of dryness in our lives, we say, you know, am I even a follower of Jesus anymore? Am I really a believer in him? And John gives us a remedy for those days when we doubt. And the remedy is love. Love. Look at verse 19 of 1 John chapter 3. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Isn't that what we want? The security, the assurance of knowing that we are in the truth of Jesus Christ and that we can be comfortable in his presence. He says, verse 20, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. That's what we want. We want that confidence in his presence, that security of knowing him. And he says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So the Spirit of love that he gave us, as we continue to live out in our actions and in our lives, love toward others, the same love that Jesus showed to others, we receive the security and the assurance and the confidence of knowing that we are his children. We don't have to doubt our faith when we're actively demonstrating love to others. Look, if you feel like your faith is lagging and you're not the Christian that you should be, or you're not the Christian that you once were, there's a surefire way to put your heart at ease and to get that security and that confidence back in your relationship with God. Get in the game and start loving others, and the security and the confidence will come. Find someone who needs a love lift and deliver it. Deliver it. Cook a meal for a shut-in. Find a friend who's a little down, a little dejected, and take them out to lunch. Look around for someone who's grumpy. There are a lot of them around. And find a creative way, and maybe you're the grumpy one, right? Find a creative way to cheer them up. Find the thing that you know will cheer them up and do it for them. Rake your neighbor's leaves while they're away. You know, volunteer to watch a child so a busy mother can have a few moments of peace. Sit with a cancer patient and read scripture to them. Go Christmas shopping. In fact, are you going Christmas shopping? Find a lonely person and bring them along with you. Take them along with you. Don't waste that opportunity. Forgive someone who has hurt you. This is love, to be incarnational like Jesus. That word incarnation, it's the word that we talk about around Christmas time, fancy word that means that Jesus was made flesh for us. He became one of us. He entered our world and entered this sinful place and entered our hurt, became one of us so that he could save us. John put it this way in chapter 1 of his gospel, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the incarnation. The Word became flesh. Jesus became one of us. In the Message version of the Bible, it goes this way. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Jesus came and showed us who the Father is by becoming one of us and demonstrating that love in our very midst. And then when he left, he said, you need to demonstrate the love that I've shown to you, to others. That is the true mark of a Christian. Ashley Barker and John Hayes are mission leaders among the poor, and they've written a book called Submerge, Living Deep in a Shallow World. But in that book, I'm just taking one quote from them that I think is a beautiful, beautiful quote. It says, today, perhaps more than ever, the world needs Christians who allow themselves to not just be seen and heard, but touched and handled. We live in an age of information, of mass messages, an era with an uncanny ability to multiply words. Yet an increasing number of the world's people live lives without real change and without Christ. The world doesn't need more words, not even more of the right words. And this is my favorite part of the quote. The world needs more words made flesh. Incarnation. It's a simple truth, yet in the end it is people who change people. The world needs more people living good news incarnationally in a way that they can be seen, heard, and handled by the most demanding and doubting Thomases. This is where salvation comes to our world. When Jesus comes and becomes one of us and then passes the torch on to us, and we, by believing in him, now live our lives incarnationally where we enter the hurt of others, and we lift them up through love, the love that God has shown to us. Jesus entered our world, and he made a transformational difference by being here. And he has given you the tools to do the same thing. A believer in Jesus Christ who walks into a gloomy room should be the incarnation of Jesus Christ to that room and should bring joy and peace and comfort and love. It should change things. Because he's changed us. When you do that, as John teaches here in this verse, you will be obeying the premium command of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have assurance, security, that he is alive within you. That is the security that comes from love. That is what love is. It's the true Christian's signature, sacrifice, and security. Now get out there and show that. Show the love of God to others. Do it in the way that only you can, because God has uniquely created you and gifted you and saved you and given you all of the tools that you individually and we as a church body need in order to be the body of Jesus Christ, in order to be his hands to reach out in love to everyone. We have a world that needs to know what love is. The thing that they call love is far, from the true love of God. The thing that they sing about, that they call love on the radio, has nothing to do with the love of God through Jesus Christ. You need to be the one to show others what the love of Jesus Christ truly is, because we're in the neighborhood and we have His love and we are His children, His people. So I challenge you this morning to take this passage of Scripture, read through it, memorize parts of it if you need to, but especially to walk out these doors today and say, I will love, because that is who God is, that is who Jesus is, and that is who I am called to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You this morning for the love that You have shown to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You that each and every day, Lord, we can glory in the fact that we have a God who loves us, that we have never been unloved. But Father, we recognize there are many in this world who don't know You, who don't have that love, who don't see it on a day-to-day basis. Lord, give us the strength, the courage, and the conviction as believers in You to demonstrate who we really are by stepping out into this world and loving You. We thank You that we have a God incarnate, Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh. But Father, help us to be incarnational people as well, to step into the lives of others, to lift them from their darkness, to show them who You are, to introduce them to the love that You have given to us. Thank You today, Lord, for this time of the year. Father, for the way that it opens our hearts, for the way that we begin to see the needs of others. But Lord, help us not to just speak words of peace and words of comfort and words of truth and be like the Pharisees. Instead, Lord, help us to love deeply from the heart with Your hands. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.